All right. Well, I'm excited, friends, about 2009. Several weeks ago, we began a mini-series entitled A Taste of the Divine in 2009. And God up above is divine, right?
Amen.
He wants us to taste of His goodness this year. You know, in 2008, you may have had disappointments and regrets. Maybe a relationship that you should have worked on that you did not. Maybe a job opportunity that you should have taken, but you did not. Something that you should have done, but you didn't do. And so today you're living with some I would've's, I could've's, I should've's. And friend, I'm here to encourage you today. Let's leave the I would've's, the I should've's, and the I could've's where they belong. They belong in the past. Amen. Let's go forward with the great thing that God has for us this year. God has got something great in store for you this year. He's got a miracle in His hand for you this year. He's got deliverance for you this year from drugs, from alcohol, from wrong relationships. He's got peace in place of your turmoil. He's got health in your body in place of sickness. He has got provision financially in place of lack. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life this year. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, well, over the last several weeks, we've been studying the conversion experience of Saul from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 30. So we're going to do a brief review here today. Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He was breathing out murderous threats against those who followed Christ. And one day in Acts chapter 9, he was on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians. You can find this in verses 1 through 3 of Acts 9. And as he's on his way to Damascus, he sees a blinding light from heaven, and it throws him to the ground. And at that point, he hears the audible voice of Jesus, which says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul responds, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And in verse 6, Paul asks this question, "What wilt thou have me do, Lord?" And Jesus says, "Go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do." And somewhere between verses 7 and 19 of Acts chapter 9, Jesus reveals to Saul what he called him to do, to bring the gospel to the lost, to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles for the majority of his ministry. And we see that in verse 20, Saul starts taking steps towards God's calling in his life. He starts bringing the gospel to the Jews in Damascus, and later on to the Jews in Jerusalem. And the thing about Saul is this, is that Saul had a quality that we need in pursuing God's call for our lives. He had the quality called faithfulness. He was consistent. He went through some really tough times in bringing the gospel to the lost. And yet, he never gave up. Why? Because he was faithful to God and to God's calling upon his life. And friends, God has got something for you to do this year. You also have got to be faithful in what God is calling you to do. You know, in Acts chapter 9, we see the power of forgiveness. We talked about forgiveness last week as a way to experience the divine in 2009. You know, Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He was persecuting God's children. Yet God did not hold it against Saul. He forgave him. He gave him a chance to promote the very gospel that Saul once attacked. And then in Saul's life, verses 20 and forward of Acts chapter 9, when he was in Damascus, the Jews tried to kill him. They tried to kill him. But Saul did not hold it against them. He forgave them, and he went on to the next city. He went on to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, the Grecian Jews, they tried to kill Saul. He didn't hold it against them. He forgave them as well and moved on to the next city. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that as you pursue God's plan for your life in 2009, you will face some low times. What do those low times consist of? Those low times consist of people who will say and do things to offend you. But like Saul, you've got to release offense. You've got to release that person. You've got to forgive the person who insults you. If you focus too much on the offender and his offense, you may not fulfill God's calling for your life. So how many here today want to fulfill God's calling for their life in 2009? Then let's walk in forgiveness. Let's not focus and concentrate on the offense. Now today, I want to tailgate to the message that we spoke about several weeks ago. It was called, Lord, what should I do? Or Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life? Remember, in Acts 9:6, Saul asked Jesus this very question. What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? What should I do with my life, Jesus? And as I said earlier, we need to ask the same question today at the start of 2009. Jesus Christ, what do you want me to do with my life starting this year and for the rest of my life? Let's say it together. Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life? You know, you may have been told as a child that you were a mistake. Or maybe you were told that you were an accident going somewhere to happen. I'm here to tell you today that whoever told you that was lying, inspired of the devil. Because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You are not a spare tire in the kingdom of God. You're not a spare part. You have an important part to play in the kingdom of God. You have a special place in the local body of Christ. You have a fit that is just right for you in the church. So today's message is Just the Right Fit. That's the title of the sermon, Just the Right Fit. I want to picture it for you this way. I've got several pairs of gloves here. All right, I've got this pair of gloves, which is kind of heavy. When I put it on my hands, you know, it doesn't quite just feel right. It's hard for me to move my fingers. There's not much flexibility there. It's kind of hard for me to move my hands. So it's not just the right fit. Then I've got a better fitting glove right here. When I put it on my right hand, it's softer. There's more flexibility with my fingers. It's a much better fit than this glove. Get the picture? And then I've got a plain and simple brown jersey glove. Real soft. When I put it on my hands, I've got lots of flexibility. The fit feels just right. I feel like I could pick up a pen with this glove and actually write. Feels just right. Just like this last pair of gloves that was a just right fit for me, God has got a just right fit for you in His kingdom. Let me say it again. God has got a just right fit for you in the body of Christ. You might be asking today, am I called to do something great, something in God's kingdom? My answer to you is a big yes. You are called to do something within the body of Christ. Let's see what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. The fivefold office. Verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Verse 12, God has given these five offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, to do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. Who does God's people include? Who does God's people include in this scripture?
People who accepted Christ.
That's it. It includes you sitting here today. It includes me. I'm here to encourage you today to find your work of service in the body. Find your just right fit in the body of Christ. You have got a work of service to do in the kingdom of God. There is a fit for you in the body of Christ. If you don't find your fit and do your part, the body of Christ may not be built up like it should. People that should have been ministered to may not be ministered to if you don't find your fit in God's kingdom. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12. Here Paul the Apostle likens the body of Christ to a physical human body. How many have heard of this passage? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. All right, let's read from verses 12 through 20. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Let's jump down to verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27, the key verse. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let me personalize this. Now we are here today, the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of the body of Christ. Now my physical human body, my fingers fit just right on my hand. Would you agree? And my hand fits just right on my arm. Correct? My arm fits just right at my shoulder socket. And so this arm works well. Same thing with my feet. My toes, thank God I've got good toes, fit just right on my feet. And my feet fit just right on my legs. And my legs fit just right on my lower torso. You get the picture? Every part of my body, my physical human body, has a perfect fit, has got a just right fit. And as I said earlier, Paul is likening us, the body of Christ, to a human body. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that you have got a just right fit in the body of Christ. Say it with me. I have got a just right fit in the body of Christ. I've got a special part to play in God's kingdom, with my life. How many here today are glad that they are no longer 2 years old? How many of us? Think of a two-year-old. Maybe a child, maybe a niece, maybe a nephew. A two-year-old. It's about me, myself, and I, right? They are the center of their own world. They're not thinking about anybody else, right? They're just thinking about me. What does a child do? What does a two-year-old child do? We call them the terrible twos. They're always taking, 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 and receiving, right? They're not giving back. But a responsible adult is doing what? A responsible adult is giving back to his family, to his wife, to her husband, to their children. A responsible adult is giving back to society, paying taxes where taxes are due. You know, maybe volunteering in the community, right? An adult is giving back. Why? Because he is mature. Now, in the body of Christ, spiritually speaking, there are people out there that have been saved for many years. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. But still, they are spiritual infants. Why?
Because they don't give back.
Why is that's good, because they don't give back. That's good. Why is it that some person can say, I've been a Christian for 20 years, but is yet a spiritual infant? Think about that. Could it be that that person has not found his fit in the body of Christ? And because he hasn't found his fit, he is not giving out? See, a spiritual adult has found his fit in the body of Christ, and he's giving out of himself. Friend, this is one way to grow in your walk with God, to grow in your relationship with Christ, is to give out of yourself. To find your fit in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, and start doing something with your life. Is that making sense? As you give out, you mature spiritually. Now, you might be asking today, well, Jonathan, how do I find out what I'm called to do in the kingdom of God? Has anybody ever wondered that? How do I find out what I'm called to do in the kingdom of God? Anybody? Trying to find out what they're called to do in the body? Let's talk about a few practical steps here. First and foremost, you've got to approach God in prayer. You've got to say, God, at the beginning of this year, I've got to know what my just right fit is. What is my special place in your kingdom? Just pray to God. Just talk to him like you talk to your friend. And I guarantee you that when you pray to God, he will speak to you. Remember Saul in Acts chapter 9. He was having a conversation with whom? Verses 1 through 6. He was having a conversation with Jesus, right? Yeah. Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Yeah. And Saul says, who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And then he says, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And what does Jesus say? Go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Friend, you need to hear the voice of God to find your fit and your place in the kingdom of God. Speak to God. Question God. He will respond to you like he responded to Saul in Acts chapter 9. He'll respond to you with a still, small voice of peace on the inside. If God is saying yes to you, you'll have peace on the inside. If God is saying no, you won't have any peace on the inside. A lot of times, God will speak to you through his written word. So number one, how do you find out what your special fit is in the kingdom of God? Talk to God, ask God, and hear the voice of God for your life, just like Saul did. Amen? Number two, remember this question. This question is a good gauge, a good test as to what your fit might be in the kingdom of God. Here's the question. What end result gives me passion and excitement? What end result gets me excited and satisfied? Let's say that together. What end result, what end result gets me excited and satisfied? That might be what you're called to do. You know, it may get you excited to see many people saved at one time. Maybe your fit in the body of Christ is public evangelism, sharing the gospel with a number of people at one time, seeing many people come to Christ at one time. Amen? You know, maybe what gets you excited is seeing a lonely and depressed soul getting encouraged. Amen. Maybe that gets you excited. Maybe it gets you passionate to see that end result. Could it be that your fit in the body of Christ is to find a hurting person and encourage them with God's love? Amen. Such as, God loves you and I believe in you. You might be thinking today, well, that's not a very important fit in the body of Christ. It sure is. Because if you don't play that part in the body of Christ, the depressed person that should have been encouraged may never get encouraged. That's an important part to play in the body of Christ. You know, maybe you like to see all the chairs neatly picked up and arranged after a service, or maybe put out before a service. Could it be that your fit in the body of Christ is to serve with your physical hands? You might be thinking today, well, that's not so important. Yes, it is. That is a special place in the body of Christ. Because if you're not putting out the chairs and picking up the chairs, then people that should have had a seat during a service may not get that seat. You have an important part to play in the body of Christ. You have a special fit. You know, maybe you get joy and passion in seeing hungry people physically fed. Could it be that your fit in the kingdom of God is to volunteer here at the shelter and serve other people food? You might be thinking today, well, I don't know if I can do that. You can try. You can ask a staff member here and say, you know what? I'd like to volunteer my time once or twice a week feeding the people here at the shelter. And then you might think, well, that's not so important. Yes, it is. That is a very special fit in the body of Christ. If you're not doing your part, people may not get fed efficiently and quickly. Now, is that making sense to you today? Maybe you're the kind of person that really likes to see that people understand God's Word. Maybe you open up the Bible, read the Scriptures, and maybe certain Scriptures really intrigue you. You really want to clearly understand some of the verses in this Bible. And so you read the verse, you take notes on it, you do some research, you pray about it. Not only do you want to understand it, but you want others to understand from the Word of God. Could it be that your fit in the body of Christ could be to teach the Word of God, to teach one Scripture to one person a week? That's not too tough, is it? That's a special fit. That's an important fit. If you don't do your part, the person that should have understood that Scripture may never understand that verse. Maybe it gives you joy to see the physical needs of others met. Could it be that your fit in the body of Christ is to give away one piece of your clothing out of the many pieces that you have once a week to one needy person? You may have several pairs of gloves. You can give away a pair of gloves and keep somebody's hands warm. You may have many, many pairs of socks. Could it be that God is calling you to give something away once a week to one needy person? You might be thinking, well, that's not so important. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that is very important in the kingdom of God. If you're not doing your part in giving away what God is telling you to give away, the person who should have kept warm during the winter may not be kept warm. Is the picture making sense? You are all called to fulfill a special part in the kingdom of God. You know, it may give you satisfaction to see many people involved in a godly effort. Could it be that maybe God is calling you to put together a Bible study or a prayer fellowship once a week here at the shelter? Maybe you've got that gift of leadership, where you can pull two, three, or four people together or more and have a prayer meeting once a week here at the shelter. Could that be your fit in the body of Christ? It's very, very important. Very important. Never, never look down on what your fit is in the body of Christ. Now, some of you here might be thinking today, well, you know what? None of those really fit me. I'm just kind of a simple guy who likes to work with my hands. I'm a carpenter. I'm a roofer. I'm a painter. I work with concrete. You know, do you like to see a nice finished piece of woodwork or a roof on a house or rooms painted within a house? Did you know what? As you're painting that house, as you're putting the roof on that house, as you're doing concrete work around that house, you can share with your fellow workers the love of Jesus Christ. Not only will you see the finished end product of a job well done, but the end result of a life changed for the better. It's called workplace evangelism. God has a special fit for you to fulfill at the workplace. Let's get creative in the way we think in fulfilling our part in the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? You know, maybe you like to fish. don't know if anybody here likes to fish. You've got some type of hobby that you really enjoy. I love to fish. And you like to go out with other fishermen and catch your limit of trout or bass for the day. Not only might you use this hobby to catch your fish, but also use it to catch souls for the kingdom of God. You could be out there fishing, you cast your line, you're waiting for a fish to bite. And while you're waiting for that fish to bite, you could be sharing with other people Jesus Christ and how he changed your life. It's simple, but it is a very important fit for you in the body of Christ. Amen? Just to close it off with this story. Back in December, and I think Kevin remembers this, we were doing evangelism one-on-one at the Greyhound bus station here in downtown Tulsa. We go out with the church every Friday night and do one-on-one evangelism. And while I was in that bus station, I happened to meet a lady who, in her mid-70s, and she said, "Jonathan, I'm a Christian. I love God with my whole heart." I'm kind of paraphrasing. But she basically told me, "I am a bus evangelist, a Greyhound bus evangelist." And she says, "What I do is God speaks to me and he says, I want you to go from this city on the Greyhound bus. And the reason I do that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those sitting in the bus and sitting at the bus stations." She said, "That's my main reason for traveling buses from city to city. It's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those in the bus and in the bus stations." I said, "That is an awesome calling." She's been doing it since about 1987. Now, is that creative or what? Wouldn't you say that is a special fit in the body of Christ? A Greyhound bus evangelist? And she said, "Jonathan, I believe God for my every single need. I don't have much money at all, but every place I go to, God provides for me financially." If she can be a bus evangelist and fill that special place in the kingdom of God, we each here today have a special place to fulfill in the body of Christ. I encourage you, friend, to find your just right fit in the kingdom of Almighty God. God has got something for you to do. Don't let anybody or anything tell you differently. He has got something for you to do in the body of Christ. You're not on this earth just to exist. You are on this earth with a God-ordained purpose and plan. Whether it be to share the gospel while you're fishing, or to travel a bus and share Jesus Christ, or to just walk the streets of downtown Tulsa and tell people, "God loves you. Jesus died for you, and we believe in you. I believe in you." God has got something for you to do. Don't waste your life. Get going with God's plan for you. Remember, several weeks ago, I talked about the richest place in the world. Where is the wealthiest place in this earth? If you know the answer, don't say, well, I guess you can say it if you know the answer.
Graveyard.
Graveyard, you got it. That's good. The graveyard, why? You might be thinking today, the graveyard? The graveyard, the wealthiest place in the world? Yes. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People that should have started churches that never did. People that should have shared the gospel one-on-one with others that never did. People that should have written books that never did. People that should have been bus evangelists that never did. People that should have walked around their cities giving out coffee and food and sharing God's love that never did. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People that should have done something. People who had a just right fit in the body of Christ, but never found that fit, never fulfilled their fit. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that I don't want to be a graveyard statistic. Do you? Say it with me today. I do not want to be another graveyard statistic. I have a just right fit in the body of Christ. Talk to God, friends. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. Everything in the sight of God is important. Everything. From giving out a cup of coffee, to telling someone God loves them, to standing before a group and teaching the Word of God. Everything is equally important in God's sight. Amen?